Well, we will be in Psalm 37 tonight. We will be in Psalm 37, the second half of it. If you remember, we 2 weeks ago we looked at verses 1 through 20. Would you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you this day. We praise you, Lord, again and again. Just as we read this morning, we echo the words of Habakkuk. No matter what happens, Lord, yet will I praise you. Father, that's our sincere desire, to always praise you and to never lose that perspective of your greatness, your majesty, your long-suffering, just every wonderful thing about you, mighty God. Speak to our hearts tonight. We pray that your Holy Spirit would rule supreme and that we would receive the lessons of God that you would have for us tonight. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Living in the reality of who we are. Living in the reality of who we are. That's what we're going to study this evening. More accurately and more importantly, living in the biblical reality of who we are. Who does the Bible tell us we are? What does the Bible describe? How does the Bible describe our lives? How does the Bible describe how things will turn out for us? How does the Bible describe the blessings that we have in our salvation? How does the Bible describe and teach us concerning how we fit into God's eternal plan? In Psalm chapter 37, verse 21, I'll read through verse 26. The wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a wise man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, speaking now of the righteous man, and his children become a blessing. Now, it'll be interesting. I have this. Of course, when you're going through this, you're trying to look for a unifying theme and what brings like sections of verses together. But it's interesting, just as we saw a common theme in the first half of Psalm 37, we see that also. If you'll see in verse 22, it says, for those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land. And that's in our first grouping, verses 21 to 26. Now in our second grouping that we're going to get to in just a few minutes, in verses 27 to 33, we have our phrase in verse 29, the righteous shall, what's that common phrase? Inherit the land. And then our third section in verses 34 to 40, well, where is our common phrase in that? In verse 34, it says, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. So we have this common theme throughout this psalm and throughout other psalms and in wisdom literature, in just in the Bible in general, this inheritance that we have. And that we, as we're looking at living in the reality of who we are, we can't forget who we are. We've looked at Romans and we've seen the victory is won. We will still have battles, but the victory is won totally and completely in Jesus Christ. And we look at the tumult of this world, and it might not look like it, and at times it really doesn't look like it. Like that we're the ones that are going to come out on top. But we could put it in those terms. As believers in Jesus Christ, as the righteous, and that's one of the things I want us to think of, we're not taking on, when we call ourselves the righteous, we're not taking on something ourselves. We're not, you know, that puff toad that was on your study notes, if you looked at that. We're not being the puff toad. God calls us the righteous. God calls us his holy ones. Those are the ones, we are the ones, not because of who we are and what we've done, but because of who God is and what he has done, we will come out on top. Now, are we living like that? And that's what we want to look at tonight. Are we living in the reality? Folks, we win. And you surely have heard someone get up and then say, well, you know, hey, you know, all this stuff going on in our world, but I've read the last chapter of the book, speaking of Revelation, and it says, guess what? We win. But see, that's one of those things. It's one of those things that we know, but let it sink in. Let it sink in and live in that reality. Who inherits the land? We can have the moguls now, and they're grabbing this and they're doing that, and we can be fearful the Chinese are buying all this real estate in the U.S. or the Arabs or all these things going on. But who inherits the land? And you know, and I think, you know, have you ever thought through this? And this is a little bit of a side, but I'd hopefully not too far afield. Have you ever wondered, well, why would God come and establish his rule on this earth and have this 1,000-year reign? We call the millennial millennial reign, and establish his rule on this earth. And I think just to show that even on this earth that's fallen, that has been cursed from the beginning, that even God coming and putting his godly principles to work. Because it talks about what? It says the desert will bloom like what? Well, it doesn't say the Garden of Eden, but I think it says it bloom like a rose. There's all kinds of descriptive terms where I think we're just going to be amazed when we see when God puts his hand to it. Because we'll say, we've got all these things. We've got global warming, whether we do or not. You know, that's one of those issues that... If you conflict with that idea, you're kind of run out of town as not a thinking person. But all is everything, whether those scientists are accurate or not accurate, or this is going on, the whole thing is that are we living like the ones who have won, like the ones who are going to come out on top? As the righteous, we live in the reality of our inheritance. We live in the reality of our inheritance. If you only have a dollar to your name and you're out on the street and somebody wants to take that dollar from you, we're probably going to fight for it, aren't we? But if you have $1 billion in the bank and you've got $100 bill and you're out on the street and somebody comes up and wants that, not the same, is it? What is the reality? We have a treasure in God, in our inheritance, that's beyond our comprehension. Now, it's real, and we know some things for sure about it, but really the scope of it is beyond. Are we living in that reality? Well, the righteous person knows who comes out on top and is generous. Or some of your Bibles say, great. In verse 21, some of your Bibles say generous, some say gracious, some say merciful, but they all have the same idea and gives. This is a generous, giving person. We can give, folks, because we are rich. And you know what? We can give our lives. We can give our last breath in service to the people around us and in service to God. Because why? Because it's not our last breath. Anybody else besides me here tonight living forever? You know what I'm saying? Live in the... This is why that we can... We have John and Katie Carter, and we have Matthew and Sarah Titus and their children, and we have Don and Bev Roth, who can spend over 20 years away from family in Mexico and doing this work, and because this is not the end of the trail for them. They inherit the land. Life goes on for them. This is why people can make those sacrifices. When God calls us then to give our lives to the people around us, he's not doing something unfair. It's like, oh, well, you know, because if you're looking at it from this world's perspective, Bible says, well, if you get 70 years, you're doing well. Anything over that's gravy. You say, well, boy, you know, we could get kind of stingy with that giving of ourselves and sharing. But no, we just let it go. And there's, you know, what do we say? There's more where that came from. There's more where that came from. The wicked borrows but does not pay back. Because the wicked just doesn't understand. Doesn't live on the scope of eternity. But the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The righteous person lives in the reality that he or she is blessed by God. Amanda, is that, I think all of you know that. I think I can safely say. Now, in a morning service, I don't know everyone as well, but everyone here tonight, I think you know that blessing, don't you? Living in the blessing that I'm blessed of God. I'm blessed of God, and we have a thankful spirit, and we're receptive to his word, because this wonderful God, he would never lead me the wrong way. He would never take me. He might lead me in a direction I don't understand. He might lead me in a direction that I even don't like. But we know our God. He's generous. He's giving. He blesses his children. If we want true blessing, we follow him even to death. Just as the example that Christ gave us. And the righteous person has great trust in the providential care of the Lord. verses 23 to 26, steps are established by the Lord. He delights in his way. And I've mentioned to you Dr. Stevenson before, and his love for the Psalms and the wisdom literature. And again, he was a Hebrew scholar. And he was talking about this. He said, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong. He said, for the believer, he said, we may fall. And it would be one of these, if you ever fallen and you got scuffed up. I was at Portage Community Bible. I would run every morning. I'd get up early. Of course, when the days got short, I was running in the dark. And I'd always run on the opposite side of the road, which was a smart thing to do, run opposing the traffic. And I was running one morning on the streets of Portage, and this car was coming toward me. And I stay on the pavement because it's smoother and you can tell more where you're going. You don't hit holes and things like that. But then when the car comes, I move over off to the edge of the road. And the headlights hit me and I couldn't see. And he goes by and I couldn't see anything. And I stepped in a hole and I rolled in and slid in that gravel. And I don't know who I thought might have been listening, but I just said out loud, I said, well, I sure needed that. But I got back up. See, that's what this is saying. That we, and this is what Dr. Stevenson explained to us, we may stumble. We may fall. Of course, we can look at texts like in Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2, that someone does stumble. We come along beside them in a spirit of gentleness, and we help lift them. But God does this for us. It will never be cast down and cast away. We'll never stumble and not get back up in God's presence because of our relationship through Jesus Christ. He said, I'm young and now I'm old, and he's seen a testament. Now he's speaking personally here. He's not saying this is a case that always holds true. He's sharing his testimony that he's never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. And he said the righteous person is ever lending generously and his children become a blessing. Just a general precept here that when we live in God's abundance, we don't hang on too tightly to our resources here. We don't hang on too tightly to our days here, our time, our energy. We just live in God's abundance, and God just comes through again and again, doesn't he? He comes through again and again. And then just picture this. Just picture this deal that we have with God. God said, just spend it all in honor of me. Just pour your life into following me, in our obedience, our devotion, and our love. And one of these days, we will take our last gasp, won't we? Our last breath. Shouldn't be any tears. Well, there'll be tears because those we leave behind will maybe cry a little bit. But for us, now we're really into the abundance of God. And now you know what else we have because we lived in the reality of his blessing and his abundance on this earth. You know what else we have? Now we can look back on that little wisp of our time on earth, on that little vapor of our time on earth. And our hearts will just overflow with joy that we lived our lives in honor of our God. We'll look back on this dark planet and we'll say, I took God at His word. I took God in my life in view of eternity and His generosity and His abundance. We are just, folks, we are going to be bursting at the seams with joy and praise and worship. And as I've said before, it's no wonder we will sing praise to God for eternity. Well, secondly, well, first, so as the righteous, we live in the reality of our inheritance. Secondly, as the righteous, we mark justice within the reality of eternity. Verses 27 to 33. Turn away from evil and do good. So shall you dwell forever, for the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake His saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. Let's stop there just for a second. And Merv was showing us some verses this morning. And isn't that interesting, that the tablet, that God wrote his words on a tablet. But now in our time, in the church age, he's writing those words and he's writing those words on our hearts. And we're living letters that we're called to. The testimony, God's testimony to the people around us. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Verse 27, the righteous person does good in view of eternity. We've looked at before. It's good to be a do-gooder in a biblical fashion. To do good. Back again to that scene in heaven. We take our last breath and we're with the Lord. Then that one day, this judgment seat of Christ, which I think is just, it's going to be such a praise service. And yeah, as it says, in Paul writes in Corinthians, there'll be some wood, hay, and stubble. Might be a little bit of smoke going up. But folks, there's going to be a lot of gold and silver refined in the things that we've done, because we've taken God at His word. And just the fact that we don't have to have this big reward, just that, Lord, I did. You know, you remember that detective show? I can't remember which one, but he was like the chief detective, and he had those under him, and he'd say, you did good. We're talking 30 years ago, maybe 40 years ago, and he would tell them, he said, you did good. Well, this is another version of that, God saying, you did good. And we do good in view of this meeting with our God. We do this in view. Comes back again to paying people back, and to not doing good but to doing evil because they did evil to us. Well, see, that's just this little box that we're living in, then this the temporal world, and we're not understanding where eternity's clouded to our eyes, because we don't understand that we're in this the long game, as someone might say, the eternity. And it helps us then when we're tempted possibly to pay back an insult, tempted to pay back something, a wrong that a person's done to us. But here it says, no, you turn away from evil. The righteous, that's us. Believers in Christ, that's us. The righteous turn away from evil and do good. So shall you dwell forever. The Lord loves justice, will not forsake his saint. Next, the righteous person is secure in the justice of the Lord. The righteous person is secure in the justice of the Lord. And that is that in the end, everything will come out in perfect, right, just order. Even those who are come under the condemnation of God, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. There will be no dissension. Everything. And as the righteous, as we live in the reality of who we are, as we live in the reality of our destiny, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. That's reality. We live in the reality of that. And the reality is God is a God of justice. It might not seem just now. Got all the things going on the last several days with the justices. And if you're like me, you can only read so many of those articles, and it can be so upsetting and disturbing. And we got to come back to, again, the looking on the long term, and God is a God of justice. And now I settle back in and I live as a believer in that God. And I don't have to act in a way that would dishonor him, because I will come back to his peace. The righteous person is secure in the justice of God. And are there many injustices? Yes, there are. Are there many, many, many unfair things in this world? Yes, there are. And sometimes people will bring those up. Sometimes they're bringing it up because they're just trying to dodge the gospel message, but they'll bring them up, and boy, we can feel guilty. You know, we can start scrambling, but it's like, no, God's a God of justice, and I don't have an answer for you, but I do have an answer as far as the God who is my hope. In Ecclesiastes 7:15, back again to the Bible being so encouraging because the honesty. Now we have to remember here, I'm going to read in Ecclesiastes 7:15 and then Ecclesiastes 8, 12, 13, and 14. But before I do that, this is something that occurred to me as I'm going through this and studying. In this psalm, what is the scope that we're looking at? What is our view? It's the view of eternity, right? We're living in view of eternity. In Ecclesiastes, the preacher was living in view of what? Under the what? Sun. Under the sun. This temporal world. And so these verses are meaningful even without that. But with that in mind, even more so, because when he says vanity is vanity, everything's vanity under the sun. It's this world that God in his wisdom, and he spoke to Solomon, and Solomon wrote these things down. And it just shows us the futility of life if we're not looking past the horizon of earth. Because some really unexplainable... let me just read. Ecclesiastes 7:15. In my vain life... Now, what's he saying there? In my life, as I view it only under the sun, not in view of eternity, I have seen everything. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his evil doing. Is that reality? Yes, it is. But see, the righteous, we understand that justice and being secure in the justice of God. God doesn't say he's going to remedy everything now, not in our lifetime, not in any particular period of earth history. He said, in the end, there will be justice. There will be justice. Over in chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Though a sinner does evil, again, and this is in the world under the sun, vanity world. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with those who fear God, because they fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked, neither will he prolong his days like a shadow, because he does not fear before God. And actually here the preacher is pushing the timeline out a little further into eternity, because he's bringing God in the picture. It's not just life under the sun without God involved, but now God is in the picture. And the evildoers, the wicked, which is anyone outside of Christ, it sounds harsh, but it's biblically, the accurate definition, the evildoer, the wicked, they're anyone outside of Christ, and try to prolong their life, but it's not going to happen. What about us? Do we prolong our lives? No, we don't do that either. We trust God, and what's the gift that God gives us? He gives us eternal life. Talk about blessing and abundance. And then verse 14, now we're back to the vanity world. There is a vanity that takes place on earth, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked, and there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I said that this is also vanity. There's just no explanation under the sun if we're not looking in view of eternity. As the righteous, we mark justice within the reality of eternity. The righteous person is secure in the justice of the Lord, because the righteous person looks as an eternal perspective. Back in Psalm 37 in verse 39, or 29 rather, just our common theme, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The righteous person knows who owns the land. We can have a squabble over land rights, and they're having that in the Middle East, aren't they? Who's going to decide that issue? God's going to decide that issue, isn't he? Now, I'm not going to say he's going to decide it next year or 100 years from now. What I'm saying is the information, the biblical data that we have, the divine data, God's going to determine who owns the land. The righteous person guides his mouth in wisdom and speaks in view of justice. Verse 30, the mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, his tongue speaks justice. The righteous person trusts the teaching of God even under the evil watch of the wicked. Verses 31 to 33, the law of God is in his heart. And then this is something that the reality that we live in this world, and it should be comforting to us that we know that God knows what's going on. And that is, the wicked is just watching for us to slip up so they can throw it in our face. They can hopefully, there for an opportunity that we'll have to eat our words or whatever. And believe me, as someone who gets up every Sunday and preaches and teaches God's word, sometimes I hear the voice of the tormentor. Sometimes I hear the voice of the accuser when I am going to state these truths of God, wanting to just undermine my confidence in God, saying, yeah, you go ahead and you say all those things, but just wait till you slip up. I'll be there. But you know what? We go on, and we may mess up. But we just take courage in our God, don't we? We do not shrink back from the bold proclamation of God's word. The forgiveness of sins, our destiny in heaven. We don't shrink back. If it's on these pages, we step forward in full confidence. But just to let you know that the wicked watches for the righteous, for the opportunity to knock us down, seeks to put him to death. Verse 33, but the Lord will not abandon him to his power. Go ahead and rattle your sabers, forces of darkness. Satan, go ahead and do your deceiving and your destroying and your accusing and your tormenting. The Lord will not abandon us to his power or let us be condemned. Because at that judgment, future judgment that we're talking about, folks, you're not going to be sweating it out. We're not going to be sitting there in line and, oh boy, it's going to get up to our place. We're not going to be at any judgment whether or not we make it into the kingdom of God. As soon as we cross that threshold of death, we are fully embraced by our God. Now, there is a great white throne judgment where there will be millions and millions, even billions before, and they have every right to be terrified beyond their imagination. But we're not ever in that picture, that scenario in heaven. that we will be assured. We should be that assured now, and we will be. And even if you aren't assured now, when you, if you're an authentic, true believer in Christ, we take that step across that threshold into eternity. God is right there. And He is looking out for us. Where's my verse? It says here, there's no, what does it say in Romans? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That really hit me. I was at Moody. And what do we call it? There's no point in the bony finger. The enemy can point the bony finger of judgment at us, but God's never going to do it again once we trust in Jesus Christ. As the righteous, we mark justice within the realm of eternity. As the righteous, we live by the Lord's timing, verses 34 to 40. Wait for the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt you to inherit the land. There's our common phrase again. You will look on the wicked. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. It's going to be, God's going to show us. We're going to see that. We're going to look back and we'll say, yep, God told us this was going to happen, didn't He? God told us this was going to happen. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. Like, what he's saying here is, I've seen a wicked man, and boy, he just pushes himself, and he just looks so prosperous, and so his life so abundant and so luxuriant. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace, the woman of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. As the righteous, we live by the Lord's timing. The righteous live in the reality that the Lord will exalt His people in His time. Wait for the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt you to inherit the land. Are we living in that reality? And there's a verse in 1 Peter 5:6. And give me a minute. I didn't put a little marker in there so I can find it more quickly. 1 Peter 5:6. It's that same thought. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at, some of your Bibles say in due time, but my Bible says at the proper time, He may exalt you. Humble ourselves before God. We wait on the Lord. See, we live in this reality. As the righteous, we live in the reality of God's timing. We don't have to live like Chicken Little and, oh no, this is going on, or oh boy, this is moving forward. I mean, you know, Carrie mentioned the other day, it's just like, boy, just you just think that the rapture could just happen at any time. It just seems like the things that are happening. And it could, folks, it could be, we could be gone by tomorrow. We don't know those things, but you know what? We just trust, we live in God's timetable. That's in God's hands, isn't it? What do we do in the meantime? We continue to serve Him. We continue to listen. We continue to honor Him. We continue to share His eternal truth. The righteous live in the reality that the Lord will exalt His people. The first part of verse 34 and then verse 37. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. Okay. The righteous live in the reality, secondly, that the Lord will cut off wicked people in His time. And that's the second part of verse 34. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. And then through verse 36, the wicked, ruthless man spreading himself out, cut off. And then verse 38, but transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. We have a future with God. The wicked, they do have a future, but what it's speaking of here is not a good, it's talking about good future, bad future. They're not annihilated. They're not, it's not like there is a judgment. There is a lake of fire. Other people can say, well, how could God do that? I won't say that. Because God's God. I can't understand that. I wouldn't have done it that way, but Who am I? You know what I'm saying? Aren't we glad that God's God and this? You know, how many people would want to come up with it? Well, let's do it this way. Just think for a minute how foolish that is. Our little limited perspective. And just treasure the fact that God is God. He's given us His Word. We can know what He's thinking. We can know what He's... We don't know everything. We don't know all the details. But the big, bold things, the things that we absolutely need to live our lives honoring to Him, to come to His salvation, they are so clear and plain. Which gets us to our last point, verses 39 and 40. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. The righteous, that's us, live in the reality of our salvation. Selah. You know, we stop and think about it. The righteous, we live in the reality of our salvation. We have things that would cause, I mean, everybody has things that would cause us distress. We go to the doctor, that can cause us distress, can't it? You get more bills in sometimes and you, okay, I got this much money and I got this much bills. And we could be cause for distress. Our son calls or our granddaughter calls or our friend from years ago calls and they were such good friends, he and his wife, and we find out his wife passed away. You know, whatever the scenario might be, we... But we just put all that in the context of our lives before God. And when it comes down to everything, down to losing everything, including this physical life, we gain everything in Jesus Christ. We live in the reality of our salvation. And that should compel us as we share this gospel truth with the people around us. That there's something, there's the pulse of God beating in our lives. And we can have the words. And everyone, you know, there will still be people who will reject the gospel. But, you know, what was it said about, I think it was Ezekiel, that they would know that a man of God, it was a prophet. They would know that a prophet was among them. Well, I'm not calling us prophets, but that they would know that there was a believer in Jesus Christ among them. That they would know that there was a person of God among them. It may not have pushed them to the point of belief in Christ. We may not have compelled them, but they will have known. Because we're going to live in view of our salvation. So, to just ask ourselves, what reality am I living in? And who has constructed? Who's built the reality? Who's built the reality of what we live in? And if we, you know, we're in God's Word regularly, and we're praying before Him, and we're in fellowship with fellow believers, and we're making sure that wherever we're getting our information, it's truly sound doctrine. It's truly what God has clearly written, and we know that God is constructed. Just like tonight, we ask, who's constructed this reality? Well, are those my ideas? No, they're just right there in Psalm 37, aren't they? So we're not trying to something to impress somebody, or boy, this is a really slick way of presenting it, or we've drawn all these. No, it's just... That's just the wonderful thing about preaching God's Word and honoring it. It's just right there. That's the reality that God is giving to you and me. One day we'll be before our God. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. Let's pray. Father, it will be glorious, wonderful day. We see You. We bow before Your throne. I can hardly wait. Father, we want to pour our lives out before You on this earth. We want to live in view of Your justice. We want to live in view of our riches that we have in Jesus Christ. We want to live in view of our salvation. We want to live in the reality of eternity. Father, that we're willing and able to give the last breath, the last drop of energy, the last bit of our resources in service to you and into the people around us. Help us, Mighty One, to do that. Help us not as just individuals to take that on, but Lord, you would give us as a fellowship, Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois, that you would bring that to us in unity and harmony, that we would draw together with a common sense of purpose in pouring ourselves out before you in service to you and our community and each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.